Hey there, I'm Dr. Ruth Roberts. I apologize for the delay. So hopefully this one will come up okay. Okay, so Pam, good to see you. Am I coming across okay now? Okay, so we'll see. So welcome. Let me hop over to the iPets Ally page, and we will work through some of these questions you guys have. Hopefully this is coming across. If it is, and I apologize, Susie, I was doing some research for Jen's question, and I got distracted. Okay, good. Thank you. Hopefully the CrockPet one came across. If it did not, we can upload a good video. So let me jump over to Jen's question, and I gave her several recommendations last week about her cat Zoe, who had unfortunately become blind after the a dental procedure, which is really awful. So here are the recommendations I made. I apologize. I think I said probably something like alpha lipoic acid, something around 25 or 50 milligrams. So here we go. Little research for you. So oral repeated dose, and granted this is in dogs, but this is the only article I could find on coenzyme Q10. So they dosed these dogs at super, super, super high doses to support the use. So in beagles, they were chronically dosing at 1,200, 1,800 milligrams per kilogram. And so that's going to be something on the order of, 900 milligrams per pound. If Zoe weighs 5 pounds, that would be, let's just call it 5,000 milligrams per day. So based on that, I don't think that dose of 300 milligrams per day is too much. My goal with these supplements are for you to unload these as quickly as possible to support her brain. So that's why the higher doses. Now, with the alpha lipoic acid, I'm going to show you two things. So here is probably what your veterinarian is concerned about. And it says that cats get toxic at, and this doesn't make any sense either, at greater than 5.8 milligrams for a 1 to a 10 pound cat. But cats 11 to 25 pounds can have up to 65 milligrams. And the other thing I'll point out on this chart is that I consistently used alpha lipoic acid at 100 milligram for 10 pound dogs that had cognitive dysfunction. Now, I'll put all these links in here for you in just a minute, but I'm going to contrast that with this article published by Tina Wismer, who is involved with the Animal Control Poison Control Center, and she has written extensively about a lot of different topics. And so she's saying the therapeutic dose is 1 to 5 milligrams per kilogram with a maximum daily dose of 25 milligrams per day. So the minimum toxic dose is 13 milligrams per kilogram. So for Zoe, this would be 25 milligrams per day total, or let's say she's 5 pounds again, and the 13 mgs per kg is the toxic dose, so that is 6.5 times 5, and that's 32.5 milligrams is the minimum toxic dose. So I would say, based on her information, 25 milligrams per day would be a reasonable dose. And Jen, I apologize if I told you a number different from that. I have used 50 to 60 milligrams for cats as well and not seen any effects clinically. And then lastly, the question was, your veterinarian had no experience with MacuGuard. Well, okay, so here's MacuGuard. And then this is OcuGlobe, which is a product made for dogs and cats. And golly, does this look familiar? And notice they also have 13 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid in there, a little bit of CoQ10, a little bit of rutin, which is a great bioflavonoid, and then some B vitamins and zinc and things like that. The reason I don't say to use this formula is that it is hideously expensive compared to MacuGuard, and these are inappropriate doses for to be effective as far as the vitamin C, the green tea extract, vitamin E, all of that good stuff. So if we look back over here, we've got this MacuGuard proprietary blend at 173 milligrams. You know, it's providing 10 milligrams of lutein and 4 milligrams of mesozeaxanthin. And the reason I'm suggesting this is not just so much for eye health, but these are also very important in improving brain health. So we've got the same information in here. I would almost bet you that this is the same proprietary blend that's over here. So the other thing is that the C3G, black currant extract, is also extremely helpful for brain health. So we're going not only to support the eye health as far as the retina and the where the optic nerve comes into the retina, the macula, but also the optic nerve and reestablish transmission from the brain down to the eyes. So Jen, I hope that's helpful. The last part is scheduling to do an echocardiogram to see if there's any underlying heart disease. And I think that is reasonable because it's going to help give you some idea if there's something sinister there that just showed up because her heart was under undue stress. Now, gabapentin is a different type of sedative. It is not a direct sedative. It is used, it's a really weird drug. It was used initially as a seizure control medication in humans, but it didn't work very well for that. But what it does seem to do is to interrupt this anxiety buildup. And so it's being used for calming anxiety for dogs and cats. It is used for chronic pain control for dogs and cats. And it's used for neuropathies as well, because it seems to help kind of calm down that hyper excitability and hyper pain sort of wind up, if you will. And that's part of the other reason it got used for pain control in pets, is that it helps to prevent pet pain wind up. So I think this would be reasonable to use and go get the echo. Can I tell you that all of these supplements are going to help you get her vision back? No, but it's the best options that I can think of to improve cleanup of the garbage that happened in her brain because it was deprived of oxygen, and to restore and repair function to those, to all of the tissues that were damaged. So I think this happens so rarely. I mean, the last time it happened to me was probably 20 years ago, but you know, it's just horrifying when it happens. So I hope that this helps you. I know that you are frightened, and it is a horrible situation to be in. So you know, another thing is you're not going to put her under anesthesia anytime soon. So it is reasonable to let her heal as best as she can heal by doing, you know, some of these other things to help support the tissue healing. And I'm sorry, Hayao's freezing. We cut her hair off and it's too chilly. So the MacuGuard, I said in the last broadcast was to do something like a quarter of a gel. And so it is hard to do. And the best thing I can tell you is to just ballpark it. There is nothing in here that I would be concerned about causing any type of toxicity. And again, you know, looking at these two products, I am betting that this is roughly the same as this proprietary blend. So I think even if you accidentally dumped a half of a, capsule out, it would be okay. So there's nothing in here that I can think of would create any type of toxicity. Yes, the astaxanthin one is the correct one. And again, the interesting thing is zeaxanthin and astaxanthin seem to really have profound effect in the brain itself as far as being a great antioxidant. So, and part of the reason I'm aware of this is that when I went to the Amen Clinic in 2017, I had about 10% of the normal blood flow going into my cerebellum, and this was part of the protocol that they put me on. So I'm using that information because their research is quite good. So I think you're on the right track here, and I'm glad that's helpful. Let's see. All right, so we've got some other goodies here. Mr. Willie with his ongoing problems. And we talked about the diarrhea, things you could do to treat it. Metronidazole I don't like either so much, but if you're using it short term, I think it's okay, because it does seem to reduce inflammation in the gut quite a bit. Bland food, pumpkin, slippery elms. Yeah, probiotics, I would just wait until you finish the metronidazole, or make sure you're giving him that 2 hours away from the metronidazole. And it's good that sore on his face is starting to heal up too. So it looks like you're getting pulled back to work part-time as COVID starts to abate. So good, but I know you hate leaving him. So, Jamie, I'm interested to know if you started the poly-MVA or not, and I'm glad that you kind of inhibited that full dose. I mean, because if it's wiping his gut out that much, that is not fun. Let's see here. And Kathy is writing about Daisy, your poor girls with their tummy upset. I don't know what to tell you. I think all of these things, if you have an acute case of vomiting or diarrhea, the best thing to do is to not offer any food and pull up the water so that they can't drink and then toss it up. And then offer small amounts of ice chips until things have kind of calmed down. And, you know, the heat throughout the entire world is just been crazy. I mean, in Park City, that's kind of the place we're heading to next. Normally, it would be, 65, 75, somewhere in that neighborhood, but it's been 80, almost 90, and that's up in the mountains. We're up in Angel Fire, New Mexico currently, and it's, up in the high 80s, and this is only, the early part of June. So it's just, I think you're going to have to be really guarded about heat. There are several ice pack type deals for dogs, the little, I don't know if you've seen these little cubes, that are like sheets of tiny ice cubes all held together, but that's an option. They've got an insulated type pack so it doesn't create any skin damage. There are neck coolers, all sorts of things. So I think you need to be really proactive about the heat internally. And then of course, you're already aware of the potential damage to their feet. So hydrogen peroxide I would only use if you're certain that your pet has eaten something nasty. And you do have to be careful. So with Mona, how she did not kill herself eating stuff, I don't know. We could not use peroxide on her because literally, her belly would just expand and it would sit there. So there, and our setter Esau, we also could not use peroxide on because it just didn't work for him. Let's see. Let me get this question from Debbie. So she's saying that Daisy's toes and pads have a slight pink color. One of them on two of her toes, they're slight pink color and all the rest are black. I don't know. I mean, so Debbie, if you can upload a photo, that would be very helpful. If it's raw and nasty, then that makes me wonder, and especially like if it's on the outside toes, then that makes me wonder if she's just scuffing that toe because the foot's not moving correctly. And if that's the case, then you want to look at which you know, what's going on with that? Is this because of a recent back flare up with the itching and scratching? And if so, then that's where I would use some booties again, just to protect the foot so that it's not getting damaged further. And then liver support. Yeah, Denimarin, just, I really have never seen it be terribly effective. And so I would say use just plain milk thistle. And I think your doctor is right. It's mostly due to the prednisone as far as the alk-phos elevation and then the chemo as well. ALT can become elevated with prednisone as well. This liver tonic is going to really push pretty hard. And right now, Willie just can't tolerate it. So I would let this rest until the gut stuff kind of is cleaned up a week or so down the road, because again, his system just doesn't need anything else pushing the liver, because it's really having a heck of a time right now. So again, let the GI stuff get sorted out, and then do some milk thistle. And the OTC dose is somewhere between 175 and 240 milligrams. Don't ask me why, but I would use one of, a regular OTC capsule twice daily. And I think that is it. Let me just double check here and make sure there's nothing else. Okay, good. So Karen's asking about vaccine detox. And so what we generally recommend using is Thuja and the mother extract. And there's stuff that you can use topically, and there's stuff that you can use orally. People have used the topically applied product orally for their pets without any issues, but it's not specific for that. Now, as far as humans, so I think you're probably asking about COVID vaccine. I will tell you what I did personally. I did some research and found a homeopath that analyzed the common side effects of the Pfizer vaccine. And I think each remedy is going to be specific to the vaccine that you receive. And so that product was Arsenicum Album. And we, Mary Jo and I both took it. And we both had runny noses the day after each vaccine. The first vaccine, I felt kind of flu-y for maybe 2 or 3 hours, and then it was gone. So I personally was very worried about it, because a lot of my health issues started off in my 20s when I received a rabies vaccine, which was unbeknownst to us, we were beta testers for the first human diploid rabies vaccine. So I was very happy that I sailed through that with really minimal issues. And so I think we've got until the 28th of June, and then we'll be as fully protected as we can be, for what all that's worth. So I think that's what you're asking, Karen, and that's kind of the research I did and what I came up with. And then sea salt with iodine and no caking agents. Wow. Okay. And 27% is 40.5 micrograms. And I think the diet itself calls for 45 micrograms. So you might just do a slightly heaping quarter teaspoon to think. To get things up to date. And I'm assuming this 40.5 micrograms is the iodine content. And if that's the case, great. And honestly, you could put probably a whole teaspoon in as well. Susan's asking about Abner, who's unfortunately not having a good time. B12 given orally is difficult to absorb. So what I would do is start with it, look at how many milligrams are in the B12 shots he's getting currently, And the reason I can't answer this directly is that the injectable comes in 1,000 microgram per ml strength and up to 5,000 microgram per ml strength. So what I would do is look at, you know, how much is he getting currently, and then orally I would start with double the dose, because literally it is that difficult to absorb it orally. I think the liquid helps, and then the sublingual stuff, that's what I'm trying to get to. Okay, good, I think we've got that. And then again, Denimarin and milk thistle, veterinarians love this stuff because we've been told that's what we need to give. I just don't think it's very effective. So I just don't think Denimarin is very effective. I saw plenty of pets come into my office that had been on Denimarin for months and years sometimes with no change in their liver values, and then we started them on just plain old milk thistle and boom, they started to drop down. So there's a whole host of other things we can use to support liver function, but I would just go with milk thistle. Denimarin's also, they've got to, I think you have to do it on an empty stomach and all that kind of stuff too. Let's see, and then Jamie is saying that she held off on the poly-MVA, and yeah, and I agree, I think you may be done with IV. It's just too rough on him, and I think metronomic or Palladia, I'm not as familiar with in terms of this particular type of cancer, but metronomic chemotherapy I like a lot. And then, yeah, definitely involve the poly-MVA, and I don't know what else, Jamie, you're excellent at doing the research, and you've got a great team helping Willie out. So keep me posted on how that goes. Oh, great, so the chia seems to be helping. So Pam, what I would do is keep using it, because it's a great grain, actually, or a seed, I should say. It's really quite high in protein. You can try switching it up with things like, not flaxseed, but here's an interesting thing. If you soak flax seeds overnight, they make this really gross mucusy stuff. And so people have used that, the liquor, to help support gut health. I tried that a little bit. I didn't seem to react to it. It didn't seem to make much difference for me. But I think you can use this long term. You could use, you know, look into using other things like inulin or chicory, which is a source of inulin, or apples for pectin. But if chia seems to be the thing to use, then keep rolling with it. And I would do that for probably 3 to 4 months and then try to decrease the dose and see if things have sorted themselves out and his gut microbiome has gotten there. Yeah. So, and again, Jamie, you're fighting drugs. And so that's kind of the hard part there. So I would let some of this stuff clear. Yeah, it's worrisome that those values are up, but I don't know that there's a great deal you can do about it. And I would talk to Dr. Lisa more about a Chinese herbal like Zhe Yao Ten, or Free and Easy Wanderer is the Khan Herbals version of it, but something that's not going to be so tough on the liver. So I hope that makes sense. And then Kathy, what I was saying is that if they've got tummy upsets, just kind of pick up the water, pick up the food, and because if they vomited and then they tank down a bunch of water, they're likely to vomit again. Use ice chips, things of that nature to help get them hydrated. And then if an hour or so has gone by, then you can start offering small amounts of water, small amounts of food. Peroxide is used only when we know there's been some exposure to something nasty. So I hope that's helpful. But I think really what you're going to have to do is work on keeping them cooled off. And so there's tons of stuff out there as far as Let me start putting some of these links up for you too. As far as cooling vests and things of that nature, and I think that that's just going to be absolutely necessary. So I'm going to drop these links up here for you, Jen, so you can see kind of what we talked about. And then, yeah, I mean, and this just drives me mad. There's all this stuff that looks very officious, but I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. The dosing differences don't make sense. So let's see up here. All right, any questions I have not answered for you in the meantime? And I'm guessing that my internet just died. There we go. Okay, maybe it's back now. And then here's the article about CoQ10 and Beagles. Okay, so if that's... I think that's what we got. So as I said, a little more traveling this summer, and I think the only hiccup is going to be the 20, sorry guys, my too many things, the 21st of June, I think it is when I'll have to bump the iPets Ally broadcast up on, up by about 30 minutes that one day, and that should be it. So, yeah, so Jamie again, yeah, so something X and something, that's probably Xiaoyao Tang, Xiaoyao San, sorry, so I think that's okay. Let things kind of clean out. The prednisone is going to keep the alkphos up there. He's had a lot of junk coming at his liver. And once things have calmed down and you've decided, okay, this is what we're going to do, what I would suggest as far as liver support is actually liposomal glutathione, because instead of putting things in there that are going to push the liver harder to get rid of garbage when it's stopping, it's not able to get rid of it because it's in shortage of glutathione. If we supply the liver with things that helps it work more efficiently, then that becomes a much better option. So we have, let me see if I can find that link. Anyway, so there's, if you head over to fullscript.com, if you don't have an account, just sign up, we'll approve you, and we'll get the Fullscript link out there if you don't have it. But liposomal glutathione is going to be a much better choice because we're going to give the thing that Willie needs and that many animals will need to improve the process. So what happens is your phase one detoxification gets overwhelmed and there's not enough glutathione and some other things to help get these toxic products from phase one in through phase two detoxification process. So that's why I often suggest that, because if you add in something like the Adored Beast product, it's just going to be pushing more and more and more through phase one detoxification. And that's just not going to help anybody. Okay, so that's what I have. We will see you next week. Until then, give everybody a big hug for me, and we'll go from there.